Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
On Paul's second missionary journey, he came to the city of Troas, and while there saw a vision in the night of a man of Macedonia saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And as he is described as a man of Macedonia, I presume that he was a real man, a man of a certain locality. And the record continues, "And when he had seen the vision, straightway he sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Setting sail therefore from Troas, we made a straight course to Samothracia, and the same day, or the day following, to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the city of Macedonia, the first of the district, a Roman colony, and we were in this city tarrying certain days." That reading from Acts 16, verse 9 through verse 12. Then there follows in this same 16th chapter of Acts the story of the conversion of Lydia. A very interesting and wonderful story of conversion of a businesswoman. The next paragraph tells us about Paul and Silas casting a demon out of a soothsaying young lady. She had been managed by certain men who saw that there was a possibility of making merchandise of her special ability. When the demon was cast out, they were upset. The story continues. "But when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they laid hold on Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them unto the magistrates, they said, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and set forth customs which it is not lawful for us to receive or to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their garments off them, and commanded to beat them with rods. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were loosed. And the jailer, being aroused out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' And he called for a light, and sprang in, and trembling for fear, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house.' And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in the house. He took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his immediately. And he brought them up into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God." Well, this reading from Acts 16, verse 9 through verse 12, then verse 19 through verse 34. There are a number of very significant facts in this story that I'd like to point out this afternoon. The first of these facts is one that I hope you will seriously consider in relation to yourself. It is the fact that this Philippian jailer did not know that he was lost. He was busily, honestly engaged in his occupation, and he may have been a bit proud of his occupation. Rome was the ruler of the world, and he was one of the Roman jail keepers. That would mean wearing a uniform. It would mean that he would have certain privileges and a certain paycheck. But he was a Gentile. He was a pagan, as would be looked upon by the Jewish people. There had been some Jews in the city who had been preaching. They had stirred up quite a controversy, but that was no concern of his. If someone had met him and asked, "What do you think of Christianity?" Had he thought anything at all about it? He would probably have said, "Well, it's no concern of mine." He was lost, completely without hope, yet he did not know it. He was utterly unconcerned. He needed to be concerned, He ought to have been concerned. And so the story unfolds to show how God caused him to get concerned. And the reason why I'm particularly stressing this fact, the jailer's complete indifference to the gospel, is that there are millions and millions of people today who are likewise unconcerned. There are people right here in Warren County in reach of my listening voice that have no special concern about salvation. They have nothing really against Christ, no particular dislike maybe for the gospel. It's simply that it has no place in their lives. And so like this Philippian jailer, they are preoccupied with something else, and they're unconcerned about their lost condition. Well, a second fact in this story was that God sent an earthquake. Our text says in the 26th verse of Acts 16, suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundation of the prison house was shaken. Now, I've often wondered if they had to rebuild the prison or whether they had to move out and use a different building. The earthquake shook it, but that's not the main thing in the story. Not only did the earthquake shake the building, but it shook the man. It shook the jailer. He was literally shaken out of his sleep, for it was midnight when this earthquake came, and he was awakened. And right here, I'd like to pause to make another comparison. I sometimes talk with people who basically are good people, but haven't gotten around to the matter of becoming interested in salvation or interested in the gospel. And sometimes I've gone away from people trying to somehow arouse their curiosity and their interest with a sad heart. Something will have to happen in order to really shake that person up, maybe awaken them to their senses. And maybe in some cases the Lord's going to have to send an earthquake. That earthquake might come in the form of a serious illness. Many a man, while lying on his back in a hospital, has waked up to the fact that he was lost, that he needed to do something, and maybe it's been a heart attack, or maybe some sickness that one thought was a heart attack, to wake people up. Sometimes this earthquake might come in the form of the death of a loved one. I've known of people who, upon the death of a loved one, were made aware of the brevity of life, were made aware of the uncertainty of life, were caused to face death and the fact of their mortality. Well, sometimes this earthquake comes in the lives through maybe the loss of possessions, or it could even be the loss of one's reputation, or it may come through one's own failure, or sometimes it may become as we grow older and realize that the end of life is approaching. When we are down, we realize that we're not as strong as we thought we were. And possibly out of that failure, or out of that shaking, out of that realization, one turns to the Lord for guidance and for help. And this is not an unusual thing. It's a quite common thing to find that people must be shaken before they realize that they are lost, that they need the Lord, and they need the salvation that He offers. And so in mentioning this, we don't have to wait for some tragedy or for some life-shaking event, though, to decide to become a Christian. Well, a third fact we see in this story of the conversion of the jailer in the city of Philippi is found in Acts 16, verse 29. After the jailer was shaken, the account says he sprang in trembling in fear. Just think of the sudden change in this man's life. He went to sleep that night, perfectly satisfied. Undoubtedly had in mind what he would need to do the next day, but at midnight, everything changed. In the middle of the night, he realized that something tremendous had happened, and he's afraid. He's terrified. And it's good for us to tremble. We often become so self-satisfied and so overconfident that it's good to be shaken at times, sometimes, and to be made aware of our weakness and our frailty. Well, a fourth fact comes to light just at this point, and that is, after his trembling, there was a humility. He fell down before Paul in silence. And before we can become a Christian, friend, we must bow down. There has to be a humbling of our hearts. Can you imagine this pagan, this Roman, bowing down before a Jew from Palestine, a man of a despised race, of an occupied country, and yet the jailer was humble enough that he bowed down before Paul in silence. And this brings us to another fact. He asked the most important question that could ever be asked. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Of all the hundreds and thousands and perhaps millions of questions, this is the most significant question to ever be asked. His question indicated that this man had to do something. What must I do to be saved? The greatest part of salvation depends upon God, upon His love, upon His giving of Christ on the cross. The greatest part of salvation comes through God's gift, but man must respond to God's gift. So there's a part that man must do. And this brings us to fact number 6. They said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." There's no other place to begin. That is, with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And when man asks, "What must I do?" the doing begins with believing on the Lord Jesus. And then it brings us fact number 7. They spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. This suggests time and perhaps many facts concerning Jesus that was preached to him. The gospel was preached. Paul may have begun with the prophecies of the coming of Christ. No doubt they were in his message. Then he told about the birth, perhaps the boyhood, the ministry, and the mission of Christ, and the miracles performed by Christ. All this was preached unto him in preaching Jesus. It would take a while to do that. And perhaps the man would ask some questions, and Paul would answer them. And then after a while, when the preaching was done, they took them the same hour of the night, or he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized. That is, he showed penitence. He wanted to undo as much as he could the harm that was inflicted upon the apostles. And then he was buried with Christ in baptism to have his sins washed away. After all, Christ said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Teach them, baptize them, and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And so many great, fascinating, and needful facts in the conversion of this jailer in the city of Philippi. Have you rendered your obedience to the gospel?